From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Wildcast Podcast. I'm Justin Spears, here with Dominic Pacheco and PJ Brown. Before we get started here, you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. I highly recommend that you subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or download the Wildcaster app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play. PJ, Dom, we are here because the Arizona Wildcats women's basketball team advanced to the WNIT championship. They will host Northwestern. They took down TCU Wednesday night. PJ, you were there. 10,135 fans were at McHale Center. From your experience covering this team over the last, what?
3 years.
3 years? Did you ever imagine that you would see over 10,000 fans for a women's basketball game?
No, not at all. You know, when I first came, I moved to Tucson about 3 months before Adia Barnes was hired as head coach. And the first sporting event I attended was a women's basketball game. They played Cal, and they had a special promotion that if you bought tickets online, it was $3. So my brother and I bought tickets, and we went to the game, and we walked all the way down the stairs, and we sat right behind the bench. And if there were 50 people at McHale, it was a lot.
Wow.
And to see it go from that right before she was hired to 10,000 the other night, is really, really remarkable. In fact, after the game and after they had their little celebration and they threw the t-shirts and hats out to the fans, and fans were standing there for a while, and just before they all left, because they were so excited, they just didn't want to leave. I went out in the middle of McHale and just looked up into the stands to take it all in. It was just a really amazing experience, and to be there was really special.
Yeah, you know, I remember going to the game against UTEP. It was a non-conference game. I think I was just there just for assignment. I think that was the only thing going on for that day. So I was like, yeah, Ryan, our boss, Ryan Finley, sports editor at the Star, said, yeah, go check out Arizona women's basketball against UTEP and do some videos, write a sidebar story for that. I was like, sure, I'm down. I go, and during the game, and this is what I realized, kind of how bad attendance was at that time. I could hear McHale Center. And by hearing McHale Center, when it's dead silent in the arena and you hear the roar from the lights and all the stuff going on, I could actually hear that during the game. I never heard that during a men's basketball game. And last night had the atmosphere of like a normal Arizona men's basketball game. It was 5,000 or 4,000 less than a sellout, which is usually the ballpark that the men's team gets, but it felt like a sellout. It was so loud. And our colleague Greg Hansen turned to me and said, this is one of the best games I've been to at McHale Center. And that says something, considering he's been here ever since Lute Olson has been in Tucson.
Adia Barnes was introduced as Arizona's head coach 3 years ago to the day, depending on when you're listening to this. It was April 4th, 2016.
Wow.
That's
to
incredible.
The day.
Oh, wow. Throwback right there.
Yeah.
Greg Hansen from The Star wrote in a column on Thursday that shortly before Adia Barnes was hired, Arizona drew 845 fans for a UCLA game at McHale Center at the end of the season. 845 fans. There were 10,000.
Yeah.
Adia Barnes is asking for a sellout for the WNIT final. From 845 to asking for a sellout and having it be even in the realm of possibilities. I mean, the culture shock that Adia Barnes has induced here in just this short amount of time, it's pretty incredible.
What about their run has been so magical? Does it have to be because the spotlight is primarily on them? I talked about this earlier on ESPN Tucson. The men's team had a mediocre season. They finished ninth in the Pac-12. They were bounced in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. After their season was over with, people were like, well, now what? What are we going to do? Just wait for next year? They saw this because it's postseason. It's historic. They haven't done this in years. And I think a lot of people in Tucson latched onto that because it's something that could be something down the road, especially with Adia Barnes being a former Wildcat, having all the players that she has right now. This is kind of like a tease of what's going to be happening in a few years, because they could do this at this level, have 10,000 fans show up, but for an NCAA tournament regional. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. This is just this, that sneak peek. I think it's a matter of a number of different things sort of just aligning at the right time in the right place for them. Yeah. And part of it is that the men's team isn't playing in postseason. Part of it is that, you know, each game they've gotten more and more people out because they're realizing, hey, this team's for real. Wow, they're having fun out there, and they know these girls. These players are out in the community. Adia's out in the community. It's this whole thing about what a good representation that they are, not only for women's basketball, but for the university and for this community. They're inspiring little girls and little boys to want to participate in sports and want to come to these games and cheer for them. And the whole community is rallying behind them. So it's all these things sort of coming together. It's everything that Adia has said from the beginning. She wants to build a good culture. She wants to be in the community. She realizes how important that is, not only for her as a person and for as her as a coach, but for her players and for the community to have that feeling like, hey, I know this player. You know, we've talked before about how they, after they play a game and they go around and they're high-fiving and they're hugging fans. And this is an everyday occurrence. They know these players inside and out, and the way they cheer for them and their, Bryce Nixon said the other day, you know, she's in the game and she shouldn't be listening to the fans, but when she gets in and she hears them say, shoot it, Bryce, shoot it, it makes her want to shoot more. You know, things like that. And she's a reserve guard who's coming off the bench. And they're loving her. They love her. They love everybody on that team. And it's really, it's not only just a special moment for today and what's going on now in this run, but it's going to carry on to the future.
I think it's a couple things, Justin, and I think you guys both touched on it just now. It's that Tucson's really a basketball town. So when men's basketball season ends, disappointingly to say the least, and then the women go on a run, fans get to go pack McHale Center for another month. I mean, it's something for people to rally around.
Yeah.
And in the same sense, the team is easy to rally around. The players, people like these players. They've gotten to know them. People like Adia Barnes because she's an alumna and she's been here. She's done it. And they've got to see that. They saw it in 1996 when Adia Barnes won the WNIT with Arizona, and they're seeing it now on this run. So it's just a really easy thing to rally around. I mean, whether you like basketball or whether you just want to go watch sports in Tucson, I mean, yeah. It's just the people on the team, and I'll expand on this a little bit. PJ, you've done a good job this year, and you got to talk to Adia Barnes on the court and have a little fun with that. Justin, I know you were there with that video.
That was awesome.
Some of the insight, it's just stuff like that. Like some of the insight we've gotten to Adia Barnes and how her attitude and her personality is so exuberant compared to coaches and players in other sports. It's so loud, and it's just a different side.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it's just a different side of players and coaches that you don't get to see. Specifically in men's basketball, we don't get that access, and in a lot of sports in general. I mean, it's easy for these people in Tucson right now, the fans, to rally around this program, and I mean they're showing up.
What are you calling Tucsonans, these people?
Tucsonans.
what do you mean, these people?
These people, Tucsonans. I'm a Tucsonan. I'm one of those people. But, you know, like you said, Dom.
Us people.
but it matched up perfectly because the men's team loses in the Pac-12 tournament. The women's Pac-12 tournament was the week prior, right? So their season ended at the most perfect time, and they were able to market and get, like, pick up steam for attendance. Because what was the first attendance?
It was about 3,200.
3,300.
And then it was 35. Mm-hmm. And then we got to 63, 77, and then 10.
Is that a snowball, I would say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. I'm interested to see if it carries over into next year. I mean, it would be cool to see what the starting attendance was for a season opener this year, or even in the Pac-12. I mean, so where they would generally draw bigger crowds. Look at the Pac-12 opener and then see how many people are at McHale Center for the opener last year.
Okay, so that was ASU. And they drew 5,000 people for that game.
That's a bad sample. But
I will say that, yeah. So they're selling season tickets right now, mm-hmm. and they've got a real big jump on it. They were at the softball, at the ASU Arizona softball series last weekend with a table out. They're selling like hotcakes, as they mm-hmm. would say. And I talked to Coach Joan, Adia's former coach here, the winningest coach of in U of A history,
yep.
the other day, and she said that there's probably going to double or triple the number of season ticket holders they had last year. And they usually are around about that 800, 900. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it was 900 this year. So, you take that. So you figure it's about 3,000 maybe that they'll have 3,000 season ticket holders. Plus, people walk up to those. They have huge walk-ups. They had about 1,500 for the game the other day. And so it's going to be this thing. If they can – Justin and I were talking earlier. If they could get 4,000 people to a game, you know where that puts them in the nation? That puts them in like the mm-hmm. top 10 for women's basketball.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, where they want to see the jump, right? Is season tickets. I mean, you're going to get those outside fans and the people who walk up that day, but the jump they want to see is in season tickets, and I think that's where you'll see the big difference carry over from year to year. But yeah, mm-hmm. Justin, going back to your point, it's definitely a snowball effect. I mean, it's you know, it's easy to support a team that's winning, and obviously, if you didn't see it the last few years when they won a combined, 14 Pac-12 games before Adia Barnes was hired in the 5 years prior to that. So, I mean, you're not going to see it then, but when they start winning and they're fun to watch and you can rally around the players and the team like we've talked about, sure, it's a snowball effect.
One other quick thing about mm-hmm. the tickets. The last year, you know, the first 2 years, they have those court seats. Well, they only had like one side of court seats. This year they sold both, like they do for the men. So along the side.
Both sides.
On both sides.
Oh,
so,
like on the court?
On the right, court, right, right. Those okay. seats. And so that was a huge jump this year. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, that says something that people sort of felt like, well, the hype was Kate Reese is coming. She's the program's first McDonald's All-American. And they sort of knew that Ari McDonald was supposed to be special, but they didn't quite know. But it was the Kate effect, I think, that sold those tickets. And now that they're doing this, I mean, it just, mm-hmm. it's going to be big.
Where are they at right now in terms of tickets for the WNIT championship?
Let's pull up Adia Barnes's Twitter, right. Shall we?
Because yeah. that is what she said her side job.
Yes.
She's been marketing.
She's been hawking tickets.
As of an hour ago, this is at 6:45 on a Thursday night.
A day after they win.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have all day Friday and then Saturday. And then I'm sure people are going to be lining up 2 hours before tip-off trying to get tickets.
Yeah.
As of 6:45 Thursday, again, this was an hour before I'm talking right now, it was at 8,300 tickets sold.
Wow.
They're going for, again, this is per Adia Barnes' Twitter account, very informative for as far as attendance record. She's very helpful. Pac-12 record for an attendance turnout is 12,364. She's calling for a sellout at McHale Center. That would be around 14,000. I don't see them getting to that. That would be mighty impressive, like to a level that she hasn't even hit yet. Like 10,000 is mind-boggling impressive for Arizona women's basketball compared to where they've been in years past, even a couple months ago. But a sellout would be, I couldn't even fathom that for a women's basketball game. But
I think they'll get close because
they're on their way.
I will say that they've sold more today, one day after they won, than they did in the other days. So if it's already eight and they got 10 the other night, then it's, you know, they have all day tomorrow. People are going to be buying. I think that they're going to get close, plus the walk-ups, because there's always walk-ups.
The number they should be going for first, obviously they need to hit this before they hit a sellout, is 12,364.
Right, I think they can hit that.
They're a little more than 4,000 away as of Thursday night, and they got two more nights to do it. So
right, and you know that number, mm-hmm. It doesn't say there who it was, but I can guess it was Oregon State. The Civil War this year, that game that was on ESPN, and because they talked about it was a top 10 matchup, and they talked about how it may have been a sellout, but they were talking about that as being one of the largest crowds ever category.
It's impressive.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And for a women's basketball game, I mean, the interest that Adia and this team has been able to garner for something that very few Tucsonans cared enough to go to a game. Just this energy that she's garnered in such a short time is remarkable.
One thing I said this on radio today. Mm-hmm. I might be reading into Adia Barnes' comments too much, but she was talking about getting a new audience, getting different fans to come out to the game. She's talking about little boys, little girls. And it got me thinking about the demographic of people that usually go to U of A men's basketball games. People with little gray hairs, you know, sitting, you know, have to have their season tickets. And I'm like, you know what? I like what Adia Barnes is doing. She's trying to get a different audience to come out to the games. And the audience is there. I mean, there's over, a little over a million people in the Tucson area, if you include all of the surrounding towns. If you have that many people in your city, without a doubt, you can get a lot of fans to come out to your basketball games. And if I'm Adia Barnes, you know what I'm doing? I'm getting every single photographer that I can find for Arizona Athletics and take photos all around the arena, put them on postcards, and send them to every single recruit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you bet. I mean, this is, again, if we talk
this
about what
recruiting tool.
Yeah, if we're talking about what this does for the program, it's huge for recruiting. It's huge, which, by the way, Adia Barnes has already done a great job of doing without the success, without winning. She brought in the best recruit that the Arizona program's ever had in Kate Reese this year.
And talk about one of the top transfer classes of all time with Ari McDonald, Dominique McBride, and T.T. Starks. How'd she pull that off?
She brought in a transfer that's breaking her own records in her first year playing on the team, or second year. So, I mean, what Adia Barnes has already done, it speaks volumes for the program. Another thing that Adia has talked a lot about in the past is how the 1996 WNIT run for Arizona, when they won the championship, she's talked a lot about how that was kind of a pivotal point for the program. And it was interesting. You saw who was it after the game talking about it as a stepping stone, talking about this year's tournament as a stepping stone.
I think it was McBride.
It was McBride. And it's interesting how Adia, I mean, you can tell that Adia has kind of instilled that thought, that instinct that, hey, if we go make this run here, you know, they can only win the games that are in front of them. And it's the WNIT. It's not this whole glorious, magnificent tournament that they want to be in, but it's a big deal. And to get to where Arizona wants to go, to compete with some of the top programs, the top teams in the Pac-12, this is a huge step for them. And you saw Adia Barnes do it in 1996, and they're doing it 23 years later now, and it's only going to help for recruiting. It's only going to help. I mean, Arizona is going to be in the NCAA tournament conversation from day one next year. That wasn't the case this year, I don't think, nearly as much as it will be moving forward. I mean, what the WNIT, what making a run here does is speaks. I mean, you can't speak enough about it, because if they had lost in the first round of the WNIT, then all of this that we're talking about right now, 3 weeks later, is non-existent.
Right, right. And, you know, it's interesting. I talked to UCLA coach Corey Close the other night, and she, her team, she took them in 2015, and they went on a run, and they won the WNIT, and she was in the midst of a rebuilding that program as well. And ever since then, she's taken her team to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA. So it's kind of like it's been done before, and she also said it's really interesting. They talk about culture all the time, the two of them. And she said you never quite know when the tipping point is and what's going to be the tipping point to make all of this happen. So, you know, is it, you know, bringing in the transfer class? Is it bringing in Kate Reese or some other integral piece? Was it really Lucia Alonso? She was her first recruit
That's
here.
Right.
And that could have been the real linchpin, because, you know, she started as a freshman at point guard, and she's another player that people sometimes overlook, but she is very integral to this team.
And it's that aspect too. Lucia Alonso, I mean, she doesn't play as much anymore now that they have that recruiting class on those transfers.
It's because she hurt her foot this year.
Okay, well, that aside, the point is Lucia Alonso loves Adia Barnes. All of these players love Adia Barnes. They love playing for her, and it's that you haven't seen that at U of A in some time. You didn't really see it with Nia Butts when she was here. You never saw that kind of camaraderie within a team itself as you're seeing right now with Adia Barnes, and that starts going back to Lucia Alonso.
Right, and this team really is close. They're all like each other's best friends, and it's been amazing to see how close they are, and that's another key to this run, because if they're playing for each other and with each other, and it's not just, you know, the one player, it's they've all come together.
PJ, I want to test your memory on this real quick, okay? So last time Arizona played in the WNIT championship was coincidentally in 1996 against
Northwestern.
Which is weird. It's weird how everything kind of comes full circle. But I want to test your knowledge on what was going on in the world in 1996. Do you remember movies around eight?
In general?
In general, yes.
Do you remember movies?
Yes.
You watching the
movies? I know what movies are.
Movies in 1996. You remember movies in 1996?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Give me a hint.
Celtic Pride.
Oh yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yes, I do.
James and the Giant Peach.
I didn't see that one, but I know the name. But I know the name. But I know that.
I mean, there's all sorts of movies that came out. Ones that I don't really know. One of my favorite ones.
Were you even born then?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't know that.
No, I know I shouldn't know that.
I'm watching you look at this list. I'm like, how many of these movies do you actually know?
I watched them later on down the road.
Oh, okay.
I watched them later on down the road. Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppets.
Was a movie that
like
was
different Muppet movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh yeah, they had different Muppet movies.
Got to get into the Muppets.
What do you remember about music in 1996?
Okay, ask me a question.
don't look at me, PJ. I got nothing to this 1996 conversation.
The name of a song with Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, you got me.
One Sweet Day.
How old was Mariah Carey in 1996?
I have no idea. That's why we have Google.
Yeah.
But Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion. Was actually the top song on the Billboard 100 at the time when Arizona won the NIT.
Really?
WNIT.
Wow.
Justin, Mariah Carey was younger than us. She was 23 years old.
Jeez, Louise. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Get Man. Going. Write those songs, Man. Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, what are we doing? We're
sitting here start singing.
We're sitting here talking about Mariah Carey 23 years later. She was.
do you remember basketball at that time? What was going on in the world of basketball?
So Michael Jordan and the Bulls were winning.
Yes.
I was there.
Chicago Bulls won.
I was really young when I was there.
They won four. They won four games. They won, beat the Seattle Supersonics in six games, and that was the same season as the 72-10 regular season.
Yeah, that was the greatest.
Dom,
season
you know
of
about
all
that.
Time.
I know all about it.
You know
the
about
second
that.
Best regular season of all time.
Wow, wow.
At that time, man. So yeah, it's been a long time since Arizona women's basketball has been at this point. And I think it's awesome what Adia Barnes is doing right here in Tucson. She committed to Arizona twice, as she says,
yes.
Because she had to commit here to come play, and then she had to come here. She had to commit here to come coach. And what she's been doing over the last 3 years now has been absolutely remarkable. PJ, before we end this podcast, Arizona, they still have a game to play.
Yes.
They got to beat Northwestern. It's tough right now because Northwestern is still a talented team. They come out of the Big Ten, and I know we still got to do more homework on them, but it just seems like Arizona's at a point right now where are they going to lose?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm.
We last time we talked about this, we said we'd be surprised, more surprised if they didn't make a run to the championship, and they're here, they're playing at home in front of at least 10,000 fans, and I don't see how they lose. They're just on such a roll. They've trailed for all of what 5 minutes in the entire tournament. I mean, they never trailed to Wyoming or Idaho Pacific. I mean, they've been in control in all these games, and even against TCU when they started to struggle, they responded really well. And down the stretch, they did what they needed to do. And I just they're playing at that level right now where it's hard to envision them losing. Right, you're right.
Yeah, they're playing so well. They're playing the best basketball of the season. They're on a mission. They want to win. They've said from the beginning they were going to win this championship, and they're here. They're not letting this one slip out of their hands. And I do think that the crowd is the X factor. Coming into that arena, I know how I was taken the other night, and 10,000 people were there. I just can't imagine playing in front of that and having those people cheering against you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one thing when they're for you.
Right.
When they're against you, yeah.
Look out.
You know, that's Northwestern doesn't draw that many fans to a game. But, I mean, you got to walk in and be pretty taken back by it. Yeah.
Really intimidated.
And you know what? I don't even think that Arizona fans are going to be hostile towards Northwestern. They're going to be hostile towards the referees. towards the referees. If there's one thing that I learned about sitting at Arizona women's basketball games is that the fans there do not like the refs whatsoever.
No, they don't.
That doesn't change from men's to women's sports. It's always the same. Justin, before we sign off here, going back to our what was happening in 1996 conversation.
Oh, what's up?
Who was a senior on that men's basketball team?
Oh, I got it.
Reggie Geary?
Reggie Geary was a senior on that team. There's one specifically that I'm looking for that you're going to be mad at me for.
My boy Corey?
Your boy Corey.
Yeah. Corey Williams
was a senior on the 95-96 team.
Corey Williams. That's awesome.
He averaged 11. 11 and 4.
That's awesome. Yeah, they just lost the NCAA tournament that year. Mm-hmm. Was they weren't in the Final Four.
No, it was Sweet 16, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that was incredible. Wait, was that the year they lost to Steve Nash?
Sweet 16 to Kansas?
Kansas,
yeah,
okay.
Kansas. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the Santa Clara year against Steve Nash. Man. But we have a minute here. I'm going to kind of spit out some rapid fire questions for you guys. We always do over under. Okay. So I'm going to set the line and you guys are going to tell me over under. Okay. 13,000 fans at McHale Center. Over under.
Over.
You're going to say over.
I believe in this community right now.
Yeah.
This is like picking like a big game at like the Super Bowl. You can't pick the under in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I can't bet against this fan base that has turned out for, you know, five games in a row. Now you have to bet over. I think it might be under, but if I was a betting man, I'd have to go over.
I would.
Oh, 13, man.
See, it's pushing it. It's 13,000.
13,000. I mean,
that's
a good line.
You're going to get 5,000 more in the next 48 hour. I don't know. It's tough. It's going to be tough. Well, and it's at noon Saturday, so you got less than 24 hours now.
What's the record?
Or 48, sorry. 12,263, I believe. Yeah. Something along those lines.
They'll get
some mix of those
they'll
numbers.
They'll get 12,300. They'll break the record, but they'll just be under.
I think they're going to get 13-2.
I think 13-2?
13,001.
I'm taking the over.
I'm really taking the over. Points, Aaron McDonald. I'm going to set the line here at 24.5 over under. And I got you stumped here. I'm taking the over. I think Aaron McDonald.
Over, huh?
I think she's made for big games. Aaron McDonald's tailored for big games, for big moments. She gets a little out of control sometimes. Like I told PJ, she's like a Tasmanian devil when she's on the court. I have her scoring 35 points.
I'm going to go under because, Justin, you said she's made for the big games, but Adia Barnes this year has talked about how Aaron McDonald does not need to be a scorer to contribute to this team. You've seen T.T. Stark, Sam Thomas, Dominique McBride, Kate Reese step up in games over the last couple of weeks, so I don't think she needs to have necessarily a big scoring game to contribute. I'll say just under the, what was it, 23 you're saying?
Yep.
23 and a half. I'll go just under that.
Yeah, I'm going to go just under. They've been playing with a really balanced offensive mm-hmm. attack the last couple of games. And if you look at Aerie's numbers throughout these games, I don't think she's scored more than, has it been 20, maybe 23 for one game, something like that. And so I think that she's going to feel like she doesn't have to do it all. Mm-hmm. If it comes to her, she'll take it. And there'll be parts in the game where she'll take over, but she doesn't have to score the 40 points for them to win, and she knows it now. So she's going to be distributing the ball.
Over under blocks for Sam Thomas. I'm going to set the line at 2.5.
Over.
You're going to take the over?
Oh, Sam's coming up big.
Are you saying she's going to have three blocks?
At least.
She's barely taking the over?
You can't take the under on these kind of things. You got to go over.
Her average was 1.9, I think, this season coming in. So.
She's too big of a presence inside. Yeah. She's too big.
She's doing it.
Or it's got long arms.
Six. That's long her thing. Arms. That wingspan. Wow.
Okay. So last one. Over under. Rebounds for Kate Reese. 8.5.
Over.
That was quick.
No explanation. I'm going over.
That was quick, man.
I love Kate Reese. She's so good.
I think over because I think that I'm going with you too because Kate's been she's going to be like all in. This is the last game of the season. They want it. She's going to step up big in this game. And last game she didn't have too many, but she got some big ones at the end. So I think she's going to get at least 9.
That's awesome. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Over under. Damn, Dom, I can't believe you're,
I think, I went,
you're so quick.
I went over on everything except Ari, I think. And the only reason I went under on Ari is because everyone else is going to do a good enough job, so she doesn't have to do it.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Arizona Wildcats getting ready to take on Northwestern for the WNIT Championship, which will be at McHale Center Saturday at noon. PJ Brown will be out there. PJ, where can we follow you on Twitter?
At PJBrown09.
Okay. She'll be providing the best coverage of the Arizona Wildcats. And you can also check out her work on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. For Dom, for PJ, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.